We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for January 12, 2010. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll have energy analysis with Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. In agricultural news, it's all about the surprising USDA reports. We'll have comprehensive coverage, and Todd Gleason reports on a website that can get you started in farming. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Tuesday afternoon, futures settled like this in Kansas City. March wheat at 534, down 32. May, 546 and three quarters, down 31 and a half. July, 557 and three quarters, down 31. March wheat CME group, 535 and three quarters, down 36 and three quarters. May, 548 and three quarters, down 36. July, 559 and a quarter, down 35 and a quarter. March corn, 392 and a half, down 30. May, 403, down 30. July, 411 and a quarter, down 30. September, 415, down 30. December, 417 and a half, down 30. January beans, 969 and a half, down 32 and one quarter. March, 978, down 32 and a half. May, 985 and three quarters, down 31 and a half. July, 992 and three quarters, down 30. August, 986, down 29 and three quarters. January soybean meal, 295.40, down 930. January soybean oil, 38.26, down 93. February live cattle, 85.45, up 40. January feeders at 97.80, up 152 and one half. February lean hogs, 66.40, down 27 and one half on the day. And those are today's settlements from Kansas City and Chicago.
Support comes from the Westchester Group, specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is available online at westchester-auctions.com.
Taking a look at AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser's two-state forecast, he says tonight, clear to partly cloudy, lows ranging from 12 in east-central Indiana to 20 in west-central Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs ranging from 30 in northeastern Indiana to 42 in southwestern Illinois. His extended two-state highlights looks like this. He says daytime thaws will start in many areas tomorrow and will occur throughout Illinois and Indiana from Thursday on into next week. Low temperatures will remain below freezing, mostly in the teens tonight and then in the 20s tomorrow night through the weekend. That will set up a daily freeze-thaw cycle, making for muddy field conditions in the daytime and icy conditions at night. The maps still look quiet for the coming week, with the next significant precipitation not expected before the middle of next week. Some freezing drizzle will be possible in some areas Thursday night into early Friday morning, creating a few slick spots, but other than that, weather for transportation should remain favorable for at least a week.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Dave.
For corn, Sir Isaac Newton is in charge.
Hey, we sure had the apple fall out of the tree as far as the corn market went, didn't we, Dave? The government hit us all with a very, very big or unexpected production number. And as far as our crop size went, increasing when we were all looking for a decrease. And that's what caused everybody to get caught way off guard and basically, you know, we just because of that, everybody was leaning the wrong way, and we fell harder than even we thought we might have at first glimpse this morning after reading the report.
So the question is, what does the futures traders do tomorrow coming back after a limit down day today?
Well, you know, if we look at the synthetics, we were trading about a dime lower than what they actually closed, Dave. You know, and we don't even have to wait till tomorrow morning. We'll see at 6 o'clock tonight what things are looking like as far as their ideas are. You know, the beans popped back up a little bit on the close. That was a little bit encouraging that we might have sold off enough for right now there. And, you know, as we look down, probably if we would go down that extra dime tonight, well, there should be possibly some buying into that point in the corn. So we do sort of think that if we take 40 cents out of the corn market within 24 hours here, that'll probably be enough for the meantime. But overall, it's still an awful lot of corn to work through. And when we look at the acreage for next year, you know, we're going to have a lot less wheat acres, and we're going to have some CRP ground coming back in. So with this extra production, we might not have near the enthusiasm for wanting to bid up for acres as we might have had the government not added this extra production.
Looks to me like if we overnight go below 385, 386, it could be a relatively quick trip down to 372.5, which is the bottom end of a trading range that we've been trading essentially since, I would say, the beginning of October until now. I would suppose then from this point forward for a little while, maybe 30 to 45 days, it's all going to be about demand. Are we going to pick up on that export demand, for example?
Well, of course, lower prices generally don't hurt anything as far as people wanting to buy things. If they can buy it, say, 40, 50 cents cheaper than they could a day ago, basically they should be more willing buyers. So that's one of the things that we're hoping that might help pick this up. But we're also hoping, like you say, that we don't go through that support point that you were talking about right there. It would be down, let's see, about 15, 16 cents from where we closed today. And in that range, I think that would be approaching the level of what we considered the actual fundamental area of where we should be as far as the export numbers and that go, Dave. So, you know, there was a lot of the large grain companies said we were 40 to 50 cents trading above where the international market would be if we were dealing with fundamentals rather than suspected fund activity. So I think that, you know, we'll have taken care of that. You know, if we did look at the government's report this morning, remember they did actually even raise the expected farm price along the way, saying that some of the outside markets would still influence commodities enough that they thought that we would still have some enthusiasm left even with these large numbers.
Yeah, they put the price at $3.40 to $4 versus the previous at 3.25 to 3.85. Let's look at the soybeans and get your general comments there, and I'll ask some specifics after.
Well, I think, you know, we were convinced again, or we saw the reality of South America looking very good. We saw the bean number, the carryout a little higher than what was expected. We did not, you know, they didn't raise the export number there. But, you know, all in all, we're seeing that there are the world supply is still looking fairly good. So, you know, that's the part that really stuck through. Beans, we saw them come back on the close. We saw them sell off, come bounce back up through the day, and then come back on the close when we saw, just the end of the day type deal that people maybe didn't want to stay short down at the bottom. The beans went back towards the bottom today, Dave, I think when the pool started to build in the corn pit, and it was the negativism in the corn pit that probably pulled beans to the lows of the day, and they didn't stay there on their own. So, you know, we still have some tremendous demand from the Asian countries, China especially, on the beans. The bean meal is still moving especially well, and, we're looking, we're still over $80 in crude oil and, some soy diesel and some demand that way also.
It looks like the bean market got down to around 967, which is a consolidation level from the October-November timeframe, and as you suggested, bounced off that, which gives, I suppose, the bulls some optimism at this point.
Well, I mean, you know, there's, I think after we take this much juice out of the market in one day, that there is, we are at different levels. We have taken some of the enthusiasm out. Let's remember, we don't feel that the funds have done all the rebalancing yet. There's still money to come into the commodities. They're still talked about on every financial news show about how this is going to be the year of commodities to come back. So, you know, everything isn't totally negative here. There are some people that were looking for chances to buy at a little lower level. And, we think we probably put the tops in for the meantime anyhow. But that doesn't mean we can't stay in our trading range and work back up off the lows if we dip down a little bit more.
Can you explain to me the fundamentals of how we can have the smallest wheat seedings in 97 years and lose over 30 cents on the marketplace?
Well, I believe there's a couple things that we can throw in there fundamentally, Dave, is the usage is down, the world supply is up. And the word yesterday was Smithfield was importing wheat rather than buying American wheat over to because of their fear of vomitoxin and using wheat instead of corn on the East Coast. So that, along with everything, is one of the reasons along the way. The world's awash in wheat is probably the best way to put it.
Does USDA's announcement that essentially they're going to resurvey corn and soybeans in March add additional and unexpected volatility to the marketplace between now and then?
Well, of course. Whenever you just publicly announce, well, this is our final number, but uncertainty. You know, I don't know for sure what they might say then. Neither does any other trader out there, and they are not feeling real confident now because they were totally shocked today by what the government said. And I think it's going to depend somewhat on the weather and whether we can get this crop harvested in the meantime. And I think, you know, in some areas, as you were just giving the weather forecast, freezing, thawing, muddy, sloppy conditions doesn't pretend to harvest continuing on at a fast pace.
I don't know how you get the corn onto the field in North and South Dakota at this point.
I don't know, and I'm glad I don't have to figure that out.
What else are you keeping an eye on?
Well, of course, two big things, of course. We saw today that the export, balance of trade went the wrong way again here as of today. So we're looking at the dollar to see how things are going to balance out. I mean, we're still trading around 77 cents on the dollar here that way to see whether it increases or backs off a little bit to help us pick up our exports. And, of course, the energy market's so important as to whether we're going to, keep the ethanol market flowing and maybe see some increases there that we need and cut back a little bit on some of our energy costs.
You probably fielded a lot of phone calls today. What was the major concern?
Well, the major concern was first out of the box this morning, how much is it going to go down? When was it turned around? There were some people saying, when should I start buying some calls? So if we'd only retrace halfway up here, but I feel that we could have some summer weather, what do we do? And I think that we were looking at that figure as far as the corn is to, possibly down about 10 cents tonight or tomorrow, we would probably be looking at possibly buying some calls to give us the advantage of feeling like we could go ahead and sell corn if we get a partial rally back up, Dave. We were very unpopular from about 10:30 till quarter to one today, though. It seemed after everybody got the market news, nobody really cared to talk to us.
did you offer any calls and beans advice?
On the bean advice, I think that, you know, we're hoping for a little bit of a bounce to get back up there. We've encouraged sales when the beans were above $10, but with a lot of it for to pushing the sales as far as we liked it, and we were waiting for today's numbers, feeling that they would probably be neutral to positive and see some fund activity around now, and we got caught not being up. We are sold some, but we're not sold to the level we would really like to have been or should have been at this point in time. So, you know, we're going to try to give the beans a little bit of a chance to pop and work a little bit back up before we push our sales there.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
If you ever wanted to farm but weren't sure if it was possible or how to go about getting started, there is help just a web page away. Todd Gleason has more on the Farm Beginnings program in Illinois.
To be sure, this is a program for want-to-be low-input, organic, or sometimes referred to as sustainable farmers. It's a program developed by the Land Stewardship Project. Its mission is to foster an ethic of stewardship for farmland, to promote sustainable agriculture, and to develop sustainable communities. Illinois Farm Beginnings is an initiative that provides opportunities for beginning and transitioning farmers to learn firsthand about values clarification and goal setting, whole farm planning, business plan development, and low-cost sustainable farming methods. It has been adapted in this case by University of Illinois Extension and the Land Connection. Harry Carr from Mint Creek Farms in Stell, Illinois, is one of the guest speakers.
Farm Beginnings program is a program that is put on, available to people that want to start farming, that don't have a background in farming. It's a put on by the University of Illinois Extension in conjunction with the Land Connection, a not-for-profit out of Chicago. And the intent is to draw upon the experience of local farmers and to help people wanting to get into farming to write business plans and develop a farm strategy by being able to network with people that are doing this on a daily basis to help them, you know, get off the ground and get going.
Starting a farm is a tough thing to do, be it the money, the land, or the skills. The Farm Beginnings program aims to offer up a network of people and skill sets a young, new, or transitioning row crop producer can learn from and lean on. And then, of course, there's the whole of the culture.
The solutions that come from small-scale farming, both in terms of better environmental stewardship, improved quality of food, those all require people being closer to the land and considerably more labor, which is not a bad thing. You know, when you're looking at unemployment and job creation as being something that gets a lot of press, what's so wrong with people being involved with the land and working with the land doing agriculture? It's amazing how many people will do this as a hobby but not think of it as a something that they could do for a living.
The Farm Beginnings program around the Midwest, there are several, including Illinois Farm Beginnings, may just be the avenue that allows that transition from dream to hobby to career. If you'd like more information, visit IllinoisFarmBeginnings.org on the web. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
joining us now with energy analysis is Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Looking at my crude oil charts, and I usually kind of keep track of a composite chart, and I also keep track of a lead option month chart, but kind of looking at my composite, and I guess as I look at my March 2, we kind of had a little bit of a reversal today, but not a key reversal in that we didn't put in a lower low. But it's got me kind of wondering if we're beginning a little toppy here.
Well, I think there's a lot of factors which would suggest that. First of all, we certainly are still seeing rather sluggish demand in the U.S., rather large inventories of both crude, even gasoline, and heating oil still overhead, although they have been somewhat pared. I think there's still a lot of work to be done to take those excess supplies off the market. And I'm not really sure the economy is there to really direct that kind of strength.
So are you thinking that the run-up that we've seen, which has been rather substantial, actually, over the last year, really, is about run its course, and maybe some folk are going to take their money off the table at this point?
Well, I would not be surprised by that. We've seen steady patterns of consolidation and then moves higher in terms of the crude market. At this 80-83 area, I think you're going to see some good resistance develop. Some of that probably is going to be reflective of OPEC, I think, recognizing that you're looking at prices which could actually start to hurt demand. And I think OPEC has come to the conclusion that high prices really do not meet their objectives overall in terms of maintaining a good demand base.
So you're thinking that OPEC, at least some countries, may cut back on production?
Well, not cut back. Actually, they'll maintain their production levels. I don't think there's any real driving force here in terms of prices or a surplus situation that is dramatic enough to really force them to cut back their production. And undoubtedly, given some of the events we've seen in the Mideast in terms of budget pressures, I think they're still looking to produce the crude that will, in turn, lead to somewhat some resistance maybe to some of the alternative energy sources by keeping prices down at reasonable levels. At these levels, you certainly are supporting the growth of alternative energy sources.
There's IEA and DOE reports out tomorrow. What's the anticipation?
Well, the IEA report will be coming out on Friday.
Oh, okay.
And that probably will probably show a rather, after revisions upward, I wouldn't be surprised to see the demand side actually be somewhat subdued in terms of 2010, and really not much change. It will continue to show, I think, some modest expansion in the production levels, particularly out of the Soviet Union and probably OPEC as well. In terms of the DOE numbers, still looking, I think, will probably generally see some builds in both the gasoline and maybe to some extent the crude stocks. The heating oil stocks probably will be drawn down due to the colder conditions that we saw.
Thank you much, Steve.
Sure. My pleasure.
That's Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. I will be back in 2 minutes with a look at agricultural weather with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. It's still not known whether the 11,000 or so University of Illinois employees taking furlough days through May will include the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics. Spokesman Kent Brown says because the salaries of basketball coach Bruce Weber and football coach Ron Zook rely on areas like corporate sponsors and ticket sales and don't use state funds, they may be exempted. Brown says athletic director Ron Gunther is working with his department's legal counsel for a quick answer. Brown notes it will be difficult for Weber to cut his seven-day-a-week schedule short right now, but the coach said last week he would take the furlough days if called upon. Zook is out of town and hasn't commented on the policy. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says more DNA from the invasive Asian carp has been found near Lake Michigan. Major General John Peabody says carp DNA, but no live fish, was found in the Chicago River near the Wilmette pumping station north of Chicago. He says the sample was taken in October and the Corps received the results last Thursday. The news comes 2 months after officials said they found DNA in a shipping channel near Chicago that led to calls for closing shipping locks separating the Great Lakes from the Mississippi River Basin to prevent the giant fish from destroying the lake's $7 billion fishing industry by outcompeting native fish for food. An Illinois government employee is in hot water for using a state computer for repeated attacks on the management and stocks of several small companies. Comptroller Dan Hines' office says it has disciplined David Pippi for misusing the state computer. It's also taken away his internet access and referred the matter to financial regulators. The companies he targeted want a tougher punishment. They accused Pippi of scheming to drive down the value of their stock, which sells for only pennies a share. He declined to answer questions but denied any scheme to profit from his comments. Police in northwest Indiana believe a missing man from Illinois possibly fell through ice covering the Kankakee River while trying to rescue his dog. Newton County Sheriff's Department says the ex-wife of 49-year-old David Smith of Mantino reported that she hadn't heard from him since they talked on the phone Sunday while he was exercising his dog along the river the day before. She told police that Smith had said the dog was having trouble getting off the ice. The officers found Smith's truck and other items near the property he owns on the river about 30 miles south of Gary. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
I guess moderation of temperature is in the cards?
In fact, a good old-fashioned January thaw is coming to just about the whole country. As the recent spell of Arctic air is going to release its grip, and the jet stream is going to move more from the Pacific west to east across the United States instead of coming out of the Arctic. So really the whole nation is going to enjoy some moderation in temperatures. It's not without its problems. So we're going to see an active southern jet stream, which is going to produce what may be some real heavy rains across portions of the southeast United States this weekend. Lots of headaches for those folks. They've had to deal with freezing temperatures, and now we could see heavy rains in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and into Florida this weekend.
This sets up a freeze-thaw cycle, though, does it not?
It does. And we are probably looking at this warmer trend lasting through the middle of next week. However, there are plenty of indications still out there that there's going to be more cold intrusions. We don't see one within the next week or 10 days, but after that time frame, the nation will probably start to see colder weather return. We're going to see a very energetic jet stream off the west coast producing quite a few storms that may interact with that colder weather sometime late next week and beyond. And that's going to increase the storm and winter weather patterns across the U.S.
USDA reminded us this morning when they issued their reports that there was still plenty of corn in the fields, and they helped me remember North and South Dakota. Are those folk going to be able to get their crops out anytime soon?
Well, the pattern for the Dakotas is much better, especially in the next week, to where they might be able to get out. Now, it's still an area with extensive snow cover, and while it will be warmer, it won't be enough to melt all the snow, and it may warm up just enough to make things muddy. But we don't expect any big storms moving on through. So it's one of those situations where it'll actually be better not to warm up too much, but they need to warm up to melt some of the snow because it's very extensive across both of those states.
Turn your attention to South America, where it rained again, did it not, in parts of that locale?
Yeah. In fact, and there's more rain coming, especially for Brazil. Argentina, not as wet, but Brazil continues to look wet.
Too wet, maybe.
Yeah, too wet, especially in some of the central areas.
Are you thinking that as we move into harvest in South America, that they may be nipped by soybean rust?
that could be a concern, especially because I think we're finally beginning to see the start of a little bit of an El Nino weather pattern that can bring some heavy rains to portions of South America. And that is something that's going to need to be watched here as we head into the harvest season. That is going to be a risk.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, energy analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.